Today is May 3rd, 1999. This is an interview between Reed McGlamory and Mr. Wayne Bess in Lincoln, North Carolina. Mr. Bess, first I'd like to ask you where you grew up and if not in Lincoln, how you came to Lincoln.
I grew up right here in Lincoln, in Lincoln County. As a matter of fact, I grew up about a mile from here. My home is down, you probably came by, Buck Oak Road. I live down at the end of Buck Oak Road. My mom still lives there.
And what did your parents do?
My dad was, when I was a kid, my dad was a furniture delivery person. And my mom did domestic work. And afterwards, after a while, my dad gave up the furniture business and went into textile as a custodian.
And
Lincolnton is their home. My dad grew up here in this neighborhood, and my mom grew up in town in Lincolnton. Matter of fact, this the house that the land that this house sits on is part of my.
I guess working on this integration of Lincoln High School, so really the focus is the education. So I'd like you to tell me about your educational background, where you went to school, and when you came to Lincoln High School. I know that it integrated in 1968. I don't know when you came.
Okay, I started at Lincoln High School in 1969. Prior to that,
in the fall of 69?
Yes. Actually, it was the fall of 68, or the class of 69.
And where did you attend before that?
I attended Newville High School, which was the all-black high school in Lincoln County. The all-black high school in Lincoln County, yeah.
And what made you, or how did you decide to go to Lincoln High School?
Well, at the time, there was not a choice. We stayed at Newbold as long as we could, and it finally closed down as a high school. It continued as an elementary school after that, but the high school part closed down after the 1968 graduating class.
For several years, I know they had freedom of choice at Lincoln High School. Did you know anyone who participated in that?
Yeah, I had some friends, as a matter of fact, who participated in that. Several of the people that are friends that I know had gone to Newbold all the way through elementary school or through the 8th grade and chose to go to Lincoln High School in the 9th grade.
And did you have any thoughts about doing that, perhaps?
Well, I thought about it, but at the time it was more convenient to stay at Newbold. The bus went there, and to go to Lincoln High School, we probably would have had to have somebody to drop us off and pick us up from this area. So, for convenience, mainly, I guess, me and all my sisters and brothers stayed at Newbold.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
At the time, I had five brothers and three sisters. Since I've had one brother killed in a car wreck, but all nine of us attended Newbold.
And when you finally did go to Lincoln High School, how did the transportation work? How did you get to and from school each day? Was there a bus that came out here and picked everyone up?
Yes. Well, actually, it was the same bus that was taking us to Newbold those couple of years. They just instead of going to Newbold. They would, they would drop off elementary kids at Newbold, which the name after that changed to Central Elementary School. And then it would transport the high school students on to the Lincoln High School.
And approximately how many students went from Newbold to Lincoln
I would guess that probably a third of the high school students, it was split up between Lincoln High School and West Lincoln High School and East Lincoln High School. You know, let me back up. I said that I drove the bus. My first year at Lincoln High School, I drove a car. Somewhere between the 10th grade and the 11th grade, I was fortunate enough to get my driver's license and buy a car. So for the first couple of months, I guess you'd say, I drove my car back and forth to school, and then after that, I started driving the school bus. And then from then through the rest of the year, the school bus was my transportation back and forth to school.
And so, to get this straight, in the policy said you were a junior.
Yes.
So you have 2 years.
Right.
Were you involved in athletics at all?
No, I was, spent my time working, basically a car bum.
Where'd you work?
At the beginning of the school year, I worked at a department store. It was in town. It was called Ben Franklin. I worked there part-time in the evening, and that was after driving school bus. I would come home, park school bus, get a bite to eat, get in the car. And I drove school bus, yeah. For my junior year, I drove school bus. Yeah.
And how did you get that? How did you get that distinction?
About a year or so earlier, I guess, when we were still at Newbold, I took the class interested in driving the school bus. And I guess somehow they found out that I had my regular driver's license, and all of a sudden one day I was called to the office, and this guy showed up and that's how I got started.
And what were you? Did you like it?
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't good.
Driving a lot of.
That was a pretty long route. I had 40 miles to go in the morning and 40 miles to go in the evening. That was an 80 mile route a day. Most of the people I knew or knew their brothers and sisters. I knew of. Yeah, I had to study in between there, yeah.
Now, I got your name through talking to Father Harris, and mm-hmm. He mentioned that he was a co-sponsor of the Student Relations Committee.
Yes.
How did that committee come about?
Was
that already there when you got there?
No. It seems if I remember correctly, there were a couple of events that triggered the formation of Relations Committee. One, the first event, I think, was some voting irregularities that occurred during election of, I think it was the Merry Christmas Queen, the Merry Christmas Corps. At that time, what they would do was they would nominate a lot of girls, and then the top vote getter would be the queen, and the next top vote getters down the line would be the court until they got higher than they wanted. And apparently, it was found out that one of the students had stuffed a ballot box with her own name, and it was discovered that all of the ballots were in her handwriting. And
it was a white student.
And then once that was discovered, I think there was the committee. Well, along with that, there toward the end of the year, there was an incident where we had the student government or student council elections. There were three people running for president, two white guys and myself. And once the election was over, it was discovered, or it was thought, it wasn't discovered, it was thought that the election was fixed because I didn't win. And there were some students who protested. I myself wasn't part of the protest, because once the election was over, I just considered it over. But there were some who thought the election was rigged. And they formed a protest, a sort of a walkout, say, was formed, was born out of those white students put on there, prominent black students that were put on there, and the idea was to try to satisfy students who had complaints or had problems that didn't get satisfied by the administration or by the faculty. The Student Relations Committee was sort of a last resort effort to try to solve differences or situations that came up.
So was this the administration's doing? Is it, oh, we need a student relations committee, or is that the students protesting so much, and that's an idea that the students presented? Do you remember how?
If I remember correctly, it was the faculty, not the administration. It was the faculty that came up with the idea.
And what was your particular role on this committee? Were you in more power than another person, or was it all equal?
It was all equal. There was a chairman and a co-chairman. Mm-hmm. And let me get my yearbook out, mate. If I can remember who the chairman was. This thing is 30 years old.
So that was you.
Yeah, that was me.
Going back to how people got on the committee, was this faculty that designated who should be on there?
Pretty much. Pretty much. The ones that, now that I look back on it, the ones that were picked were picked for a purpose. And the purpose was because they probably exhibited characteristics that would fit. There were one or two on there, I think, that were on there because they were outspoken, but for the most part, it was done deliberately. The ones that were picked deliberately.
And what sort of cases, or any examples of cases do you remember you dealt with? Did you deal with the Merry Christmas Court and the student elections? Or was those were the first cases you
Those were the first cases. There were three, I think, that sticks out in my mind. And one of them was the Christmas Court election. The other one was the student council election. And then one that we took on was the dress code. It was brought before the faculty and I guess before the administration by some of the ladies that they wanted to wear pants at school. Up until that time, the girls couldn't wear pants at school. And they dropped it in the Student Relations Committee lab to come up with some type of arrangement as far as ladies wearing pants in school. Basically what we decided and what they accepted was that the ladies could wear pants to school during the winter months, like from November to, I think it was November to March, and then after that they had to wear skirts again for dresses or whatever.
So that was the committee's recommendation
to the administration. We actually recommended this straight to the school administration. And they took it. They accepted it.
Do you remember a case where that was not accepted, where your recommendation was turned down by the administration or modified significantly to the point where it wasn't necessarily
come up with? No. Pretty much when we made recommendations, we were pretty careful with what we came up with. We were pretty sure that what we came up with would be accepted.
What recommendations did you make in the Merry Christmas election?
Just another election, and have it more closely supervised. Basically that was done, and it came out fine.
Now, what was the result of the student council election?
Well, the student council election stood. We didn't recommend make any recommendations as far as redoing the election or anything like that. Basically, what we did was just to calm down students and make sure that everybody was peaceful and went back to class and did like they were supposed to. Nothing serious ever came out of the walkout. I don't recall any incidences where it was a fight or there was a skirmish or anything. But basically, we just advised everybody to calm down and go back to class.
And what prompted students to feel that the election was fixed?
I have no idea. I have no idea. It was a surprise to me when all this came about. I have no idea.
That first year you were Lincoln, did you notice any tensions between the black students who just come over from Humboldt or had been there from Humboldt previous time, and the white students that have been there the first time later.
I was kind of tense, but as far as it, it was only because I guess it was a fear of unknown, being in a new place. It was any student going into a new school would be a little bit apprehensive, and I think that was probably the case with me and a lot of others. But as far as racial tension, no, there wasn't any that I could feel or that I could see.
When you first arrived, were there any black faculty or staff?
Yeah, there was some blacks on the staff as far as some janitorial staff and cafeteria staff, and there was I guess there was just one black teacher who taught history.
Did you know him at all?
No. Once I got to know him while I was there, he lived in Charlotte. I don't know if you want me to call names or anything, but his name was Mr. Oliver Patterson. He taught history, social studies.
Did he have any role in student organizations as a sponsor?
I think he might have sponsored the history club. I think I remember seeing him here, or just remember him and seeing it in here where he sponsored the history club and maybe the sociology club. Yeah, here's his picture here in the sociology club.
Getting back to the Student Relations Committee, when a case was presented, for example, in dress code, students, you hear talk among the school that girls want to wear pants. How did that come to the Student Relations Committee? Did people submit proposals? Or was it just based on, the committee will meet and say, I've heard that girls would like this?
I think this particular item was brought to us by one of the sponsors. I think it maybe come up in administration meeting, and then it was passed on to the faculty, and the faculty passed it on to the two sponsors, and then they just brought it in to one of the meetings.
And the sponsors were Bonner Harris
and Mrs. Janet Collins.
Was that info was passed on to the committee, how did meetings typically function? Did anyone particularly run them? Someone in charge?
Well, the two sponsors were pretty much in charge. They would actually run the meeting, but the discussion was pretty much open as far as discussing cases. And can't remember, I think maybe we had a secretary who would, we had somebody who would take notes, and then the faculty advisors, which were Mrs. Collins and Mr. Harris, would take our recommendations back to the faculty and back to the administration.
Did the sponsor have a vote?
I don't think so. That's 30 years ago.
And do you remember any incidents which you deliberated upon that caused a lot of discussion, maybe some heated discussion among the panelists?
Not heated. No, not heated. The Student Relations Committee was pretty calm. Pretty calm. The discussions went pretty easily as far as I can remember.
that, so you were on that for 2 years?
I was on, it was formed the last part of my junior year. And I was on it, that, the last part of that, and then all of my senior year. Now that I remember, I said that the Christmas election was the first one. I think actually the student council election was the first item that was brought before the committee, because that in itself, I think, was the reason it was formed. The end of my junior year, when I ran for student council president, the situation that evolved out of that, and then the following year at Christmas time, when the Christmas Corps was being chosen, was when we addressed that issue.
And do you have any idea how long the committee lasted? I mean, obviously, it's there while you were still there.
I'm not sure after that. I'm not sure. Even to this day, I'm not sure if they still have it or not. It would be interesting to know.
Right. Did you know Alan Stumar and Boyce Blake?
Oh, yes. Pretty much, yeah. I knew Boyce from Newbold. He went to Newbold until he closed. And he went to Lincoln High School for 1 year as a senior. He was a year, they were a year ahead of me.
And I talked to Dallas Studemeyer in February at the dedication of the Studemeyer Blake. Mm-hmm. He mentioned that he and Blake formed a committee called Hand in Hand, which was kind of an informal organization that was white and black, dealt with the Ku Klux Klan rally that came to town. Did you ever hear anything about that?
No.
That rang any bells?
No. I didn't hear about that. Didn't know about that.
Because I was wondering how. Bonner Harris and I were theorizing when we first talked that maybe that had initiated the student relations committee, or maybe that had been an idea for the committee.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. As a matter of fact, I don't even remember the rally.
Right. Right.
So I'm not sure what that was all about. I was probably somewhere working.
I'm fascinated by the bus driving.
Really?
I think it's unusual for, or was it unusual for a student to be driving a bus?
At that time, that's all they had was student driving.
Really?
Yeah. Not only until recently have they switched from student drivers to all adult drivers. And I'm not sure exactly how recent, how far back it started, but the whole time. The whole time I was in school, from the first grade through 12th grade, we had student drivers. And that was a big thing back then. As a matter of fact, in here, I didn't make the picture, but in here we have a picture of bus drivers at Lincoln High School. Yep. Bus drivers, all students. Yep.
Any particular experiences or incidents that stand out in your mind while a bus driver?
I guess probably the most tense that I had ever been driving a school bus was in the snow. It was kind of a big responsibility with a busload of kids, and me not being much more than a kid myself, having the responsibility of getting all those kids home in the snow safe, that was pretty tough.
Was that just one occasion, or was that
I drove a school bus for a year. Probably happened once or twice. doing that way.
How many kids were typically on your bus?
Anywhere from 30 to 40, maybe more than that on occasion. The bus was full.
It's quite a responsibility.
Yeah, and you know, I'd only been driving for like a couple of months, so it was an experience.
So what time would you have to get up to do that?
Normally I would have to get up probably at about a quarter to six and be ready to leave the house by about 6:30. And make my rounds and get the kids to school by a quarter to eight.
And then the afternoon you drove from where?
School was out at 3 o'clock and I would drive from 3 o'clock till probably time enough to get home and get a bite to eat and get to work by 5 o'clock. So, pretty much the same amount of time. It just in the evening, I think it was. It seemed a little quicker in the evening. I don't know what the difference was, but leaving home, you know, most mornings, especially in the wintertime, you know, you leave home, it would still be dark, and that made the trip seem a little longer, I guess.
Sounds like your day was always pretty jam-packed with things to do. When did the committee meet, and how often did that meet?
Oh, God, as far as how often, I don't remember. Maybe once, I'm might say once a week, I'm not sure, but it met during school hours. And we were at different times during the school day, it would meet so that we wouldn't miss the same class each time.
So there wasn't a designated time?
No.
No. Also, a lot of my paper focuses on athletics, and the interaction between black and white on the athletic field and off the field. did you attend a lot of the sports events?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Especially that first year, most of the football games and most of the basketball games I would attend. The following year, my senior year, I didn't drive a school bus, but I had a full-time job. I would go, I had enough of credits to where I could get out of school at 1 o'clock. I took all my classes in the morning, get out of school at 1 o'clock, and would be at work at 3 o'clock, and I would work till 11 o'clock. And I did that my whole senior year.
Did you work in the same place?
No, I worked at a textile mill, the place where my dad worked. It was a place called Leslie Fay. F-A-Y, I'm not sure, it's been a long time. It was in the building over there across from Walmart where Jerry Marvel is. That was Leslie Fay. It was a knitting, finishing and dyeing operation.
And what did you do?
I worked in the finishing department, just various jobs in the finishing department. Washing cloth, drying cloth, pressing cloth.
Was your father in the same department or was he in a different
department? He was pretty much all over the place. He was custodian and he was an errand person. He would go out and do the mail and around town, pick up supplies and stuff when he wasn't cleaning up. But he was kind of all over the building.
So did you enjoy working with your father?
Pretty much, yeah. That was pretty cool. That one time all three of my sisters worked there. Uh, but my oldest sister worked there full time, and I have two sisters that are twins, that are a year younger than me. They worked there during the summer. I had probably all of my brothers except my oldest brother and my youngest brother worked there. There were a bunch of us working there at one time. That was pretty neat.
What was this, 3 to 11, did that include Fridays as well?
Yeah. Monday through Friday.
Wow.
And sometimes 5 hours on Saturday. Yep.
So I guess the football games on Friday night you didn't get to see?
Very few football games that year on Friday night I got to see. If there was an occasion like homecoming or a big game or something like that, I could tuck away into working a half a shift and getting up at 7 o'clock and going to the game. But I think maybe I would get off from work for the prom. I would get off from work for homecoming. Couple of basketball games, maybe, but not very many. Not very many Friday nights I had.
No, were Friday night football games a pretty big deal?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a big deal. Real big deal.
Do you remember anything about the football teams in either year you were there? In terms of one loss record or any standout players?
Yeah, there were several standout players in terms of standout black players. The first year I was in Lincoln High School, there was a gentleman by the name of Bobby Joe Easter. He chose to go to Lincoln High School his whole 4 years. He was an outstanding football player. In fact, he went on to play at Tennessee State, and my memory serves me correctly, he went on to be drafted by the Buffalo Bills. Don't remember exactly how long he played or if he even made the team, but I do remember him being drafted. There was another guy by the name of Sylvester Diamond, who was an outstanding running back.
Leroy Diamond.
Yeah, that's him. That's
Leroy. I've heard that name.
Yeah, yeah. He was a stocky, strong runner.
Did you know him at all?
Oh yeah.
What was he like?
He was a pretty neat guy. He was a pretty good guy. He grew up on the western end of town. He was the kind of fellow that could get along with anybody, but you just didn't want to cross him. if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty cool. He had his sister and I were classmates. His sister that was a year younger, and we were in the same class. I do remember one particular incident, and I think I got it in here where. One of my classmates blocked a field goal, picked it up, ran it back for a touchdown, and win the game.
Wow.
I was the sports editor for the 1970 yearbook, and I chose that for one of the captions in the sports section. Contents here, sports. Yeah, right there. Lincoln turns field goal attempt into 65-yard touchdown run. That play stands out. The guy who was still a friend of mine, he got in and blocked a field goal. And it's funny because it seems that when he got and picked the ball up, he just kind of didn't know what to do. He just took off running. And it turned out to be the winning play.
Wow.
Said there, Lincoln won the game 10-2.
And who was that against?
That was against RS Central, Rutherford County.
Was that a big rival?
So I guess the big rivals back then was Lincoln versus Cherryville. Lincoln versus Newton Conover, Lincoln versus Shelby it's still a big rivalry. That's when Lincoln was a member of the Southwestern 3A conference.
Driving
school bus.
and the student relations committee. And I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything else that stands out in your mind?
Well, basically that. I guess personally, my experience at Lincoln High School was a good one. There were several people whom I remain friends with today that I think made my transition from the all-black institution to the integrated institution a lot easier. There were some people who actually went out of the way to be friends, and I think that stands out more in my mind than anything else.
These white students?
Yes, these were white students. Some of them I see now on a regular basis, and like I say, we remain friends today. You know, if you're gonna say anything, quote me as saying anything in the book, you might say that. In your paper, you might say that had it not been for some of the students who went out of their way to make me feel at home and to be friendly with me, the transition would have been a lot harder. And the same for the faculty. I know it put a strain on everybody being, you know, everybody being thrown together. You know, all of a sudden there was no more choice. We had to be there, and I think the teachers handled it well. From my experience, most of the students handled it well, black and white. But there were those who went the extra mile to make sure that, at least to make me feel welcome. And that's something I'll never forget.
I guess in a few words, how would you describe that transition? Mild, rough, what sort of adjectives?
Mild, yeah. Tense the first couple of days from not knowing what to expect, by the time I became a senior, you know, it was just school. And but actually, by the time I was maybe a third or maybe half the way into my junior year, there it was just school. Just something that you had to do and you didn't think about it. The anticipation, I guess, during the summer before that was much more than the actual going. So it's kind of hard trying to imagine what it was going to be like the summer before that. But then once I got there and saw what it was like. It was pretty mild.
Did a lot of your friends reach out from the first day, or did it kind of take them a while to say, "Oh, welcome to the community, welcome to the
It took a while because it took a while to, you know, to get around and meet different people.
Any names that stand out? Your friend, most in touch with them?
Yeah, they are. A gentleman by the name of Charles Tipton. Lady by the name of Terry Sanford. She and I work at the same place, so we see each other quite regularly. A lady by the name of Vivian Byers. I think now she's Vivian Taylor. Her husband works